This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Want a little snack? How about some avocado toast? Or a latte, perhaps? According to this guy, if you want to buy a house, knock it off.
When I was trying to buy my first home, I wasn't buying. Smashed avocados for $19 and four coffees at $4
each. So you reckon that's real? That people actually, young people, actually end up just spending their money and then whinge about the fact they can't get into the property market?
Oh, there's no question it's real.
That's real estate millionaire Tim Gerner speaking on 60 Minutes Australia. But hang on. Is anyone really paying that much for avocado toast? And more to the point, is spending on small luxuries what's keeping people from saving enough for big purchases? Helene Olin wrote the book Pound Foolish, exposing the dark side of the personal finance industry, and she stopped by to share her thoughts.
I am now forever the first call whenever somebody says something like this. Avocado toast, cell phones, lattes, cable TV, you name it.
Well, I mean, the logic behind that is, let's say you are spending, I don't know, $15-$20 on a piece of avocado toast. That does add up. If you have it a few times a month or whatever, that could be a couple $100, I guess.
It has two problems with it. First, it's incredibly scolding and sort of saying, you know, poor people don't deserve anything, or middle class people don't deserve anything, as the case may be, right? But it has a bigger problem than that, too. And that is that it is mathematically challenged. Mm-hmm. Our issues are not because we're buying too many lattes, as I wrote in Pound Foolish, or that we are spending too much money on cell phones to pay for health care, which was the thing from a few months ago, or that now people are buying avocado toast so they can't afford a home. What is going on, in fact, here in the United States is that our household income is still not where it was in the beginning of 2000. At the same time, the cost of housing, healthcare, education has gone up at rates well beyond that of inflation. And that's been going on for some time. That's actually been going on before 2000 as well.
You also wrote a book called The Index Card, which is about looking at really easy to understand ways to bolster your own personal finances. Because this does scare people. They think, well, maybe it is my extravagance. You know, they get into that mindset. So let's say you're 25 and thinking, I would like to buy a house. How do you start down that path?
I mean, the thing we talked about in the index card was this idea of the myth of the small expenses versus the big expenses. It takes a lot of small expenses to add up to a big expense. So if you're trying to cut back, well, it makes it seem like you're accomplishing something if you cut back on, say, your daily latte. And to be fair, you are making a small cutback and you will probably, you know, save some money for doing that. If you really want to get anywhere, you need to cut back one of these big expenses like housing, like healthcare, because otherwise what happens is you tend to get swamped. I always use the example from Pound Foolish where I once decided this is it. I need to make cutbacks. And I cut back the New York Times subscription, which at the time you could read free online. And I was really proud of myself for cutting back this $30 a month. Then about a couple of weeks later, I got an invoice in the mail. It was December when this happened. My health insurance was going up by over $100 a month. And by the way, so was the deductible.
So if you are a millennial or even someone in my age group, you know, the Gen Xers, one of the things you advocate is saving 10 to 20% of your income, right? That's a way, just put it away. How do you do that?
I advocate striving to save 10 to 20% of your income. I am not saving 20% of my income. I wish I were. The way to do that is to, if you really want to get money aside, is to make it automatic and take it out of your paycheck before it hits your account. This way, you don't see it. A secondary step is to, if you really think you're just spending too much, is to not spend anything that is not cash. Because the studies show that when we hand over plastic or we do it virtually, and it could be, by the way, a credit card or it could be directed to your bank account, you will spend more money than if you hand over cash. Because we think of spending cash as physically painful. I think, as we all know, whipping out the plastic, handing over the cell phone, not painful.
I think one of the reasons this avocado toast thing was such a flashpoint is that it gets at both personal spending and personal finance and these larger social forces that we can't control. You've talked about median incomes, the cost of things like education and healthcare. Are there ways, do you think, for people to feel more empowered in their own financial lives and less at sea?
Well, I think the more you engage with it, the more you will feel empowered, right? That just is a certain amount of common sense. If you understand it, you will likely feel somewhat more empowered. But I think ultimately, the way I understand it is to think of it as a political economic problem, which sounds very grandiose, and I realize that.
Yeah.
But if you think about it as, yes, you have individual choice, but that there's also forces that are frequently aligned against you, there's a sweet spot in there where you can feel empowered, even if you're not necessarily getting anywhere. At least you feel like, well, I'm not at fault, or this is under my control, or I understand my retirement account. And to me, at least, that's incredibly empowering.
Do you like avocado toast?
I love avocado toast, especially with salmon on it.
It's really good.
It really is.
Helene Olin is the author of Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.